of our series, What the Well, and we're talking about the vision that God's given us for this campus as to who we are to be and what the well is really all about. So some of the things that we've covered, we've talked about how Jesus is really everything to us. At the end of the day, he is the center of the universe and of our lives and of this movement. We've talked about how Scripture is living and breathing and inspired by the Spirit and a source of life for us. We've talked about how we have community here that's real and intentional, and we are trying to shape each other in really positive ways. Last week, we talked about the priesthood of all believers, which is a fancy way to say all of us have something unique and necessary to offer our campus and our world. We get to partner with what God's doing, and everybody gets to play. And we talked about how the fullness of God lives in us. And Gino shared a little bit about what that means to look like Jesus to other people and demonstrate what he's like to other people. So that's a lot of what we're about. Tonight we're going to have two little talks again. And my good friend Spencer is going to share in a little bit about dynamic worship. I'm excited about that because he's a good friend of mine and he's a person that really lives this out. He's really going to be speaking from something that he experiences. So that's awesome. Spencer and I go way back. There's only one thing that we disagree on that might cause us to never be friends. And that's, he actually wants it to be cold right now. He's like one of those people that love winter. Is there any other folks here that are like, why isn't it? Oh, I don't know. I don't understand. I've loved that it felt like April this week. It's like, that's solely because of my prayers, I think. So sorry to the front row and to Spencer. But first, tonight, we have the opportunity to hear from Emily Schreider. If you want to go ahead and come on up. Hi. I love Emily for a lot of reasons. One of them is that she demonstrates Jesus to me in a really unique way. One of my favorite things about Jesus is that he is loving and that he's gentle. And he, like, can come to us with truth in a way that we can receive. But he's also, like, fiery, you know, like, and a little bit feisty, like a little bit of lamb and lion combined. And I think that Emily demonstrates that part of Jesus because we had a leadership prayer meeting last week, and we were like, is anybody, like, have a word of encouragement for the community? And she was just like, I really think that God is calling us to step out into boldness in working with him. Just like really sweet. And I'm like, that's just like a little truth grenade that she just set in the middle of the circle. And so it's awesome, really powerful. Can I pray for you? Awesome. God, thank you for your presence here with us tonight. And I thank you that you're a God who wants to reveal yourself to us. And we want to know you more, and we want to learn from your Spirit tonight, speaking through Emily and Spencer. I thank you for Emily and how you've uniquely created her, and for the word that you've given her tonight, and for the fire that you've put in her for prayer, and how it's something that's deeply meaningful for her, and she can share from that with us tonight. Blessings on that person. Yeah, so we are just ready to receive from you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, I'm Emily. I'm a senior psychology major. That's me. There I am. So I'm going to be talking about expectant prayer tonight, and I want to start us off with a story. So first of all, you should know that Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday, and pecan pie is probably, like, one of my favorite things in the whole world, right? So we spend the holiday every year at my aunt's house, and there was a year where I was a freshman in high school, and we had just finished eating dinner and decided to take an hour. Everyone was too full, so we, like, took an hour before we cut the pies and ate them. So picture nerdy 14-year-old Emily decides, like, holiday, this is probably, like, a good opportunity to, like, get some homework done, right? So I have no idea what everyone else was up to and why I came to the conclusion that homework was probably more exciting than, you know, hanging out with my cousins or doing something fun and exciting. But I went upstairs and I read Romeo and Juliet, like you do, right? With the idea, the expectation that someone would come get me, you know, when it's time to eat dessert, right? Yeah, that's not too much to ask for. So long story short, evidently Shakespeare was really engaging and they ate dessert without me. Yeah, right? I was crushed. How did no one notice that there was someone missing and that I wasn't at the table? And so stories like this one remind me that I've spent a lot of my life feeling invisible. And believe me when I say that it hurts, it's not a comfortable feeling. But I think that's why I love prayer so much, is because I'm reminded that I have access to God every moment of every day. He sees me when I feel unseen, and he hears me when I feel unheard. When the world looks me over, I have a Father who counts every tear I cry and holds my wounded heart. So we've been talking about our core values as people of the Well, what we believe, where those beliefs come from, and how we live them out as members of this community. So we've learned that these values come directly from our understanding of who God is. So I want to say tonight that our practice of praying expectantly is rooted in our understanding of God as a Father. We serve a God who hears the cries of our hearts. He knows our greatest hopes and dreams. He knows what makes us come alive. He knows our deepest hurts and our deepest fears and what makes our hearts break. If you hear nothing else from me tonight, hear this. He sees you and he hears you. I'll say it again. He sees you and he hears you. God is a shepherd who will leave his 99 other sheep just to rescue you. He is a father who notices when you're not at the table to eat pecan pie. He is a God who hears our prayers, not just as the corporate church, but as his beloved children, as individuals. And so we pray because we're confident that our God is faithful and that he keeps his promises. We pray because we're confident that he doesn't fail and that there is good for those who love him. Our prayers matter. And I think it's worth noting that we don't simply call this value prayer, but we use the language of expectant prayer. And the word expectant says that prayer is more than dear God wrapped up with an amen. It means that we trust that the Lord will give us the desires of our hearts. We just have to ask. I think a lot of times as Christians, we use the language of, God, if it's your will, please fill in the blank. What kind of confidence does that demonstrate in our God? If I had asked my dad for, like, say, $5, and I'm coming to him out of a place of need, and I said, Dad, if you think it's okay, maybe could I please maybe have $5 if it's in your will? He'd look at me like I'm crazy and go, Emily, just spit it out. Just say it. Tell me what you want. And so the same is true with our God. Praying expectantly means that we don't beat around the bush or shy away from asking directly for what we need. We have a Father who is good and who wants to take care of us. He wants to provide us for the things that we pray for in his name. I challenge you to think about a time when the Lord has been faithful, that he's answered a prayer. Because God is constant and unchanging, we trust that he will make all things work out for our good, just as he has before. He doesn't fail, and he's not going to start now. Praying expectantly means living by radical faith in our unfailing God. Radical faith in an unfailing God. Isn't that cool? So when we talk about prayer, there are a couple different kinds that I want to run through really quick. In the interest of time, it might feel a little academic as we just kind of go through these. So if you'd like to talk more about any of these things that we're talking about tonight, please feel free to grab myself or any of the other Well leaders, and we love to kind of talk to you a little more in depth about any of this. So yes, we have our types of prayer up there. Maybe, first of all, you're in a place right now where you can't really proclaim that God is good, that you don't believe that in your heart, and that's okay. And the beauty of living in Christian community with one another is that there are people around us who will stand in the gap for us, who will cry out to the Lord on our behalf when we feel paralyzed. This is called intercessory prayer, and it's one of the most powerful ways we can bless each other, again, in a community. We do it in the front sometimes. Up here, we see Well leaders. And if you've never gone up and received prayer, I'd recommend that you just try it. Trust me, it's less awkward than it looks. But it's truly a liberating experience, again, to have someone come before the Lord and petition him on your behalf. That's crazy powerful. So maybe you're angry. Maybe you're in a season in your life where you're confused, or you're fearful, or you're grieving, and that's okay too. You're allowed to be messy, and you don't have to sort through the broken pieces before you go to your God. He knows you inside and out. There's nothing that's a surprise to him. So pour out your heart to your Father who loves you. Don't censor yourself, but be vulnerable and transparent. Say what you're feeling, because God can handle it. He wants to meet you where you're at. He wants to bring comfort and healing. And then the fancy biblical term for this kind of prayer is lament. So maybe this is a season for you that's joyful and full of hope. And that's beautiful, so celebrate. Celebrate the goodness of the Lord. Praise him for the ways that he's moving in your life with a heart of gratitude. And this is called prayer of thanksgiving. Prayer also involves listening for what the Lord has to say to us. Sometimes he speaks in whispers, and sometimes he shouts. Sometimes he gives us words through other people on behalf of each other. And that's also really powerful as well. And whatever form it is that God speaks to you, remember that prayer is about a relationship between two people. It's not just an empty, one-sided conversation. We live in a world that's broken. My guess is that you don't have to think too hard to identify people in your own life and people around the globe who are hurting. I went to Peru last summer on a mission trip with some other really great people in the room. While we were there, one of our missionaries, Rebecca, would talk to us each morning before we got to work about what exactly goes on in the impoverished jungles of Peru. One morning, she spoke to us longer than normal in detailing the really heavy, heart-wrenching stories of each of the children who have since come to live with them. And I don't think I've ever experienced the kind of heartbreak that I did that day. I was immobilized by grief for the people I'd known for only a few weeks and for people I'd never even met. It hurt, and it was a hard day, and I cried a lot, and it was okay. But one thing that Rebecca taught me is that prayer is powerful. She lives in a world that's so much different than my own, and she told me that when she feels powerless, all she can do is call upon the name of the Lord. So I made a list, this list to be exact. I dug it out and found it and reread it. And I made a list of every kind of way that I had had my heart broken, every instance of poverty, abuse, and injustice that hurt my broken heart. And so I cried a lot, and I prayed that God would be near his people. In the midst of pain and heaviness, we proclaimed God's goodness as we remembered the ways that he was already moving, the ways that he'd been faithful. And that day I learned that prayer is our greatest weapon in the face of hopelessness and desperation. In a world that's broken, this is how we bring God's kingdom and how we rescue hurting people, because our God is not powerless. Our God is not powerless. Let that sink in for a second. So if you've been around the well for a bit, you may be familiar with what we call the four-chapter gospel. And sometimes as Christians, we do a good job of summarizing the gospel as, one, creation happens and everything is perfect. And it's really great. Two, we sin and mess it all up. It's wrong, the fall. Three, Jesus dies on the cross so we can spend eternity with God. And then we stop there, and that's it. And while this isn't wrong per se, we're not getting the full picture. We're missing out on something. We're missing out on restoration, which is the idea that there's still work to be done on earth. That we're not just passively waiting around until we take our last breath to go to heaven and then to be in relationship with God. No, our God is an active Father. He's living and moving all around us. And because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we have access to the God of creation who reigns all-powerful. We don't have to jump through hoops to get to God. We get to be in communion with him every moment of every day. So if we're living into the fourth chapter of restoration, this means that we get to partner with God in the work that he's doing around us, redeeming his people and redeeming his kingdom. What an honor, right? That's like way cool that we get to partner alongside God and do this. So he's in the business of transformation, and as a community of his disciples, we have both the privilege and the responsibility of being game changers. And through the power of authentic prayer, we get to claim victory through the power of Christ,
victory. So I want to conclude by saying that we pray because we're confident that prayer changes things. So my challenge for you tonight is that you would pray boldly, maybe for the first time, maybe for the thousandth time, but that you would pray boldly and expectantly for the things that the Lord has laid on your heart, and you would remember that your Father sees you and he hears you because you are so precious to him. I'm going to pray, expectantly, of course, and then invite my friend Spencer up to talk about worship. Father God, we praise you for being good and for being faithful, that you hear the cries of our hearts, that you know your people. And Lord, I just pray that you would surround each of our hearts tonight, Lord, and that we would feel your presence, and that we would know that you are safe, and that you are a God who loves us, and you are a God who is redeeming us, who is redeeming the world. And God, we're just overwhelmed by your goodness and your faithfulness, Lord. And I just pray, again, that your children would just cry out to you tonight, Lord, with open hearts, and that you would meet them where they're at, because you love your children, and they're so precious to you, Lord. So I just pray that, again, all of these things would stick in your powerful name. Amen.
Amen. Am I on? Am I good? Yeah. Yeah, give her a round of applause. Thank you for that, Emily. A couple of disclaimers. I don't feel great, as you can hear. I'm emotionally compromised because of what just happened on stage, and it's really hot in here. You were right. So I'm gonna go through this, but just bear with me. So as Glenn was introducing all of us on stage, I realized that the further and further I'm removed, even though it's only 2 years, the less and less people I know in here, and so it's only fitting that I give a proper introduction. And the best story I know about myself is the story of my name. You already know the story. So when I was a sophomore here in 2011, Glenn Black was preaching a message on the story of Mephibosheth. And to open, he had this brilliant idea that he would invite three people up who thought that they had good stories about their names. And I have a great story. So I came up and I said, well, my mom and dad, they're named Tracy and David. When they had their first son, Christopher, they decided that they wanted to give the middle name of my father's name, right? So he became Christopher David. And they followed suit with me and my mother's name, which means I'm Spencer Tracy, which is cool because he's an actor. If you don't know who he is, you should look up some of those old movies. Him and Katharine Hepburn are amazing actors. But my last name is Dolezal, which makes my initials STD. And the seventh grade boys were really mean about that. Thank you. So my relationship with Ashland, Ohio, and the Well, and this building, it has been a process of maturing as a worshiper. And so I'm so excited to be here to talk about the Well value of worship and dynamic worship. And I think the first thing that we jump to when we think about the word worship are these big, huge moments, right? How many of you, when I say dynamic worship, you know that moment? Show of hands. How many of you is it in this building, right? And we see that all the time in the Bible. If you throw up the first slide, one of my favorite instances of this is in 2 Samuel. The Ark of the Covenant, which basically just represents God's presence, is coming into the city of David, and David can't do anything but celebrate with all of his heart, mind, and soul, right? It says, then those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken six steps. He sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. And so he's crumping in the streets, right? If you don't know what crumping is, I'm not going to show you. You can look it up later. But then a couple verses later, something really interesting happens, right? In verse 16, it says, as the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, also David's wife, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. So then they bring the ark further into the city, and David gives everybody cake, and then they all go home. And so when David comes home to bless his own household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him, and she's like, how the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would. And David puts up a finger, and he says, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people, Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. Right? And so this is that mountaintop moment of worship, right? And it's beautiful. David is dancing with all of his might. It's the kind of things that we yearn for sometimes. It's the kind of moments that align with what you raise your hand when you were thinking about, right? But there's a problem when we always think about worship in this way, right? There's a really important character in this story, Michal. A lot of times when we think of worship as just this mountaintop moment, we get stuck. We polarize worship into either I'm searching and I'm going all in, or I'm really uncomfortable with what's happening over there, and I despise it. And so the whole idea behind the well value of dynamic worship is to challenge that polarization, right? And to say that there's this idea that what we do every single day should be an act of worship. And so it's what I have coined as day-in, day-out worship, and it's one of my favorite concepts in Christianity, and it's one of my favorite well values, and so I'm so excited to be the one here talking about it. And when we're trying to get a definition of what worship is, then, if it's not just these mountaintop moments where we're crumping in the streets and screaming from behind the drum set, there's one guy who gives a really good definition of what it should be, and his name is Jesus. In John 4, which is actually where we draw the name the well from, so I'm so excited that it aligns with my well value, we see Jesus talking with a Samaritan woman at a well. And the scripture says, now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. Now, if you've been at the well for the first night of the semester, usually we start the story here, and we get to see this conversation between Jesus and this woman. And Jesus distinguishes himself as a prophet. And so they have this conversation, and he kind of calls her out about some awkward stuff. And then the conversation turns to where I'm going to pick it back up. And she says, sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. So her concern is to figure out, what are the set of circumstances? What's the place that we have to go to gain that mountaintop and correct kind of worship? And Jesus sets her straight. He says, woman, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Next slide. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. So Jesus takes all of our preconceived notions about worship and flips them on their head and says that it is not solely about the mountaintop moments. It's about this idea of in spirit and in truth. He says God is spirit. God is not a set of circumstances. He is not a place. He is not a time. He's not a style of music. He's not a time of day. He's spirit. He's everywhere. all the time. And we have access to that. That's the beginning of day in, day out worship. And Louis Giglio, wrote this book called The Air I Breathe, which is all about worship. And he kind of clarifies the idea of what worship is based on what Jesus says when he says it's in spirit and in truth. He says worship is our response, both personal and corporate, to God for who he is and what he has done, and I would add, for what he is doing and what he is going to do. And this tracks so well with in spirit and in truth because it's all about response, right? We aren't doing anything to get into the presence of the Lord, to set those circumstances to be able to gain a mountaintop moment. He's all around us. He has a character that we want to respond to. He is doing things in our lives. He has done things in our lives. And we are simply responding. And that's the heart of day in, day out worship, as I'm talking about. Grab some water. So, if you know what the tagline for this ministry is, that word respond becomes really important because the three words are encounter, experience, and respond. The well value of dynamic worship is worked into every single part of this ministry. It's what we're trying to do, right? We're trying to position you in a way that teaches you how to experience day in, day out worship. The well value of worship is about mountaintop worship, but it's about mountaintop worship in conjunction with everyday worship. The simple fact is that we worship. That's it. We worship. Our only choice is what we worship, right? If you look at your day-to-day schedule, you'll find out the things that you worship. And that can be scary sometimes. For some of you, it might be the Browns. For some of you, it might be Harry Potter. New Pottermore was just launched. I haven't taken the sorting test. For some of you, it might be grades. It might be musicianship. It might be friends. It might be a relationship, right? And so this is an uncomfortable thing when we realize that the things that we worship are impermanent. The Browns are always going to lose. Worship the Browns and you will be disappointed. You might learn a lot about perseverance, but you will be disappointed. Harry Potter has to end. No matter how many times J.K. Rowling puts out more facts about the Harry Potter universe, eventually there will come an end and you will be disappointed when you worship those things, right? One of my favorite authors, David Foster Wallace, gave a commencement speech in 2005 to Kenyon College to a bunch of almost graduated liberal arts educated students and a group of students much like yourselves. And in that talk, he is telling them what the value of education is. And he says that there is a natural object of worship in our lives, and it's me. I am the absolute center of my universe, unless I choose something different. He lays out this scene where he says, you go into your white-collar bachelor's degree jobs, you'll go day in and day out, and one day you'll realize you don't have any food in your refrigerator, and so you have to go to the grocery store before you go home, and there's 1,000 other people in this brightly lit a terrible grocery store, right? And you peruse the aisles until you find the things you need, and then you go to one of the two counters that's open, and there's 25 counters, and you're frustrated by this, and there's 10 people in each line, and there's a woman who's screaming at her kids. Finally, you get through the line, and you get out into the car, and someone cuts you off as you're leaving the parking lot. And all of these things are frustrating events when we are the center of our universe. When we treat everything like these are personal, unfair attacks on me. We are upset, right? We're worshiping ourselves. When all of our time is devoted to things that are impermanent, that's where we get. But David Foster Wallace talks about the value of education being enlightened enough to have the willingness to choose to think differently. Now, I know that was a lot of words, but he says that if you can just choose to think that maybe, just maybe, that woman who is screaming at her kids spent the last 3 nights awake holding the hand of her dying husband, and so she just doesn't have the capacity to make it through. Or that person who cut you off in the parking lot, they have a sick child that they're trying to get to the hospital as soon as they can. And none of these things are necessarily likely, but they're also not impossible. And this perspective shift is the value of education, or so David Foster Wallace posits. And he says something really beautiful. He says, here's something else that's true. In the day-to-day trenches of adult life, there's actually no such thing as atheism. There is no such thing as not worshiping. Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship. He goes on to talk about the outstanding reason for choosing a spiritual truth is that it will never disappoint us, right? It's this idea of permanence. The things that we put our time and our energy and our effort into are the things that pay us back, right? And if those things are impermanent, those things aren't God, if we're worshiping dynamically things that don't pay us back, then it falls flat. And so it's this process of righting our ship from understanding worship as mountaintop to day in, day out. And when I thought about what my most dynamic moment of worship was, I thought about a mission trip I took with Nate Bebout and Joe Antis to Orlando, Florida. It was a mystery mission trip through Isaiah, and we took this prayer drive on OBT, and OBT is a 9-mile stretch of road that has the highest concentration of sex trafficking in the United States. You see things like tattoo parlors next to nail salons, because the women who are working in the nail salons are being sex trafficked, and they're tattooed with a mark so that they know who they belong to. And it was this really heavy experience, but it was also an experience where the Spirit was moving, right? We all heard things, and we prayed things, and it was beautiful, and there were a lot of tears. And Joe spontaneously burst into song, and it was gorgeous. But that's not the most dynamic moment of worship on that trip. When we got to Florida, I asked Nate where we were staying, and he made a joke. He said we were staying in tents and laughed about it. And then we got to the site, and we were staying in tents. And so none of us had brought blankets. And it gets cold in Florida at night, like below 40 degrees. And all of the guys in the guys' tent were awake and silent and angry with everybody else in the guys' tent. Because we wouldn't communicate the fact that we were freezing cold. And also, the hot water heater on the showers didn't work. It was a perfect set of circumstances to make us all really mad. And about the third day of the trip, they fixed the hot water heater. And so there were the guys' showers and the girls' showers, and it was this weird trash bag apparatus. But everybody could hear everybody. And Lindsay Aaron, she turns the hot water on, and she just starts exclaiming in thankfulness and gratitude to God in the most sincere and powerful way. And that is the most dynamic moment of worship. Because she's taking this mundane thing, a shower, something that some of us do every day, some of us do once a week. Applying an attitude of desperation and expectation, saying, this hot water that's reviving my soul is a gift from you, God. I understand what I need, and I received it in this moment. The well value of dynamic worship is taking that attitude that you have in mountaintop worship and applying it to the most mundane and boring activities, understanding that they are a gift from God. When you can do that, your life is transformed. You start to have connection to the world around you in a way that is nothing short of profound. When you see every gust of wind, every ray of sunshine, every cool breeze or warm breeze as reviving to your soul. That's when you truly understand what worship is about. So thank you.
Thank you, Emily and Spencer. I'd like to invite the band to go ahead and come on back up. And we have an opportunity to respond tonight to some of the things that have been spoken to us with prayer, with praying expectantly for our good God who cares about us to hear us and meet us in our place of need. There's a couple ways to do that, one of which is we have these cards up here, and we have Sharpie markers. And if you want, you can come on up and write a prayer request on here. It can be long, or it can just be a word or a phrase. It can be anonymous if you'd like. You can drop it in the basket up here, and we are going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you expectantly. And I know it can be easy sometimes to just say, yeah, I'll pray for you, and you get caught up in your day and you forget. We are promising that we are going to pray for anything in the basket. So feel free to drop it off. And we'll also have some of our leaders up here if you want to come and receive prayer. Emily talked a little bit about that. We would love to listen for any blessing or any word that God might have for you tonight and pass that along to you to encourage you this evening. So that's what the opportunities we're going to have during worship. Let me just pray for us, and then we will worship together. God, we thank you for who you are and all that you do. We draw our attention to your goodness. And we come as we are, wherever we are tonight, and we know that that is okay. And we come before you and we offer to you what we can, and we know that that is okay. And we thank you that you're good, and that you are going to meet us wherever we are. If it's in a great place where we're celebrating, if it's in a everything's just kind of mediocre place and I'm just trying to get by, or if it's in the we're in kind of a hard place, we thank you that you're with us and that you'll meet us in these places. So we thank you, we praise you. And we want to just keep meeting with you tonight. I pray a blessing over this time. I pray that you would help us experience worship in our day in and day out, in our day to day. That you would help our perspective shift to pay attention to all the gifts that we have received and are receiving from you, naming those things throughout our day. I thank you for that you're at work in us, and that you are working for the good. In Jesus' name. Amen.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lives. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lives. So we pour out our praise to you, Lord. Life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord.
Sing it out.
It's your breath in our lives. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lives. So we pour out our praise to you, only. It's your breath in our lives. So we pour. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will say, great are you, Lord. All the
I put all my hope on the truth of your promise, and I steady my heart on the ground of your goodness. And when I bow down with sorrow, I will live up your name in the foxes in the vineyard, will not steal my joy, because you are good to me. You're good to me. You are good to me. You're good to me. You are good to me. And I lift my eyes to the hills where my help is found, and your voice fills the night. Raise my head up to hear the sound. Fires burn all around me. I will praise you, my God. The foxes in the vineyard will not steal my joy, because you are good to me. You're good to me. You are good to me. You're good to me. You are good to me. My eyes to the hills where my help is found. Your voice fills the night. I'll raise my head up to hear the sound. No fires burn all around me. I will pray you, my God. And the foxes in the vineyard will not steal my joy, because you are good to me. You're good to me. You are good to me. You're good to me. You are good to me. because you are good to me, you're good to me, you are good to me, you're good to me, you who are good to me. And your goodness and mercy shall follow me all my life. I will trust in your promise, in your goodness and mercy shall follow me all of my life. I will trust in your promise, in your goodness and mercy shall follow me all my life. I will trust in your promise, your goodness, your goodness and mercy shall follow me all of my life. I will trust in your promise, because you are good to me, you're good to me, you are good to me, you're good to me, you are good to me.
Sing it again.
Because you are good to me, you're good to me, you are good to me, you're good to me, you are good to me. Sing your goodness one last time. Is your goodness and mercy shall follow me all of my life. I will trust in your promise, Spirit, come blow through this place in your power and grace, oh Lord. And as we sing your praise and as we seek your face, oh Lord, and Spirit, come blow through this place in your power and grace, oh Lord. And as we sing your praise and as we seek your face, oh Lord. Oh, 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 cause I can see your movement on the water. I feel the tide is pulling stronger. Oh, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Cause I've read the stories and heard of sightings where the spirit was moving and it was mighty. Yes, well, I'm ready to go. I'm letting go. Whoa. Cause I just wanna catch the wind. I just wanna catch the wind. So I'm setting my sails. Setting my sails. I just wanna catch the wind. I just wanna catch the wind. So I'm setting my sails. I'm setting my sails. Oh, 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 oh. I can see the movement, cause I can see the movement on the water. Oh, I feel the tide is pulling stronger, and I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I've read the stories, I heard of sightings where the spirit was moving, it was mighty, yes. I'm ready to go, I'm letting go. Whoa. Cause I just wanna catch the wind. I just want to catch the wind. So I'm setting my sail. Setting my sail. I just want to catch the wind. I just want to catch the wind. So I'm setting my sail. Setting my sail. So Lord, I pray that as we worship, lift up your name, and that we would have an awareness, Lord, of your spirit, not just in this night, Lord, but on this campus. I pray that this people would encounter you, Lord. I pray that we would raise our hands up just for a touch of you, just to feel the wind, just to feel the breeze. Father, we're desperate for you. Desperate, and we love you. Won't you be here? Let's sing, Spirit, come. Spirit, come, blow through this place in your power and grace, oh Lord. It's Jesus. And as we sing your praise, and as we seek your face, oh Lord. Spirit, come, blow through this place in your power and grace, oh Lord. And as we sing your praise, and as we seek your face, oh Lord. Spirit, come, blow through this place in your power and grace, oh Lord. And
And as we sing your praise, and as we seek your face, oh Lord.
I just want to catch
the wind. I just want to catch the wind. So I'm setting my sail. Oh, I just want to catch the wind. I just want to catch the wind. So I'm setting my sail.
One last time, I just want to catch.
Cause I just want to catch the wind. I just want to catch the wind. So I'm setting my sail. Setting my sails, cause I just wanna catch the wind. I just wanna catch the wind. So I'm setting my sails. I'm setting my sails. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, oh, oh.
So I just want to sing this over you as a community. Lord, this is my prayer for these people, that there would be an invasion of your spirit. Father, that there would be such an awareness here that we wouldn't move, we wouldn't speak without thinking of you. Lord, that our worship for you would not only leave this place, but it would thrive everywhere else, Lord. So that when we gather on Thursdays, it would just be a grand expression of the wonderful and amazing things you've been doing on a Monday, on a Saturday, on Tuesdays, in dorm rooms and in car rides. So, Lord, with your authority, I just want to bless this people with this prayer.
Spirit, come, blow through this place in your power and grace, oh Lord. And as we sing your praise, and as we seek your face, oh Lord. Spirit, come, blow through this place in your power and grace, oh Lord.
Awaken hearts and minds to you, God, Jesus.